Thank you very much. We'd like to begin with one announcement before we introduce today's speaker, and I'd like to ask Janine Gafke, who is the chair of our Tower Awards Committee, to come up and tell you some exciting new things that we're doing to upgrade and revamp the Tower Awards program this year. Janine?
Thanks, Gary. Just by show of hands, how many people have submitted to the Tower Awards in the past? And how many of you have won? Just leave your hands up. Great, great. This is our 26th annual Tower Awards. As you can see up on the screen is some of the creative that you've seen in the online and possibly in some of the photographs that we have around the room today. But all the creative was done by Mobium, and I'd like to thank Gordon Hohalter and Margaret McIntyre. Are you here today? Thank you for donating the creative. Whoever wins Best in Show actually does the creative announcement for the following year. So we do have some exciting news to share, as Gary mentioned. We have a new format. If you have submitted before, you have put all of the information on boards and gone through a pretty lengthy process in terms of printing out all of the applications. And we're happy to say that this year we are going completely green. We have a totally electronic format. These are just some of the screen captures from the electronic entry system that you'll be using when you do go to enter at BMA.com. Chicago.org. But just to give you a brief overview, you will get a new login page that'll get you started. You will see a login page that has all the registration information similar to the information that you filled out before. But again, it's going to be more interactive and a lot more drop-downs of information for you to choose from. This, again, is just the main menu that you'll see when you go to the website. And you'll be able to add the entry, and each entry has its own form to select from each category. So you'll have a drop-down. The drop-down screen will list everything from total communications package to online to print. And you'll have to enter a new form every time you put in a new entry. And then all you do is you upload the creative files to the website. So again, no boards, no shipping, no handling. And then we'll submit the entries for judging. And then if you've submitted the entries, it'll give you a little checklist just to make sure that you've covered all your bases, all the logistics are covered for all the entries that you want to submit. So just to give you a little breakdown in terms of the timeline, the early entries are due by March 6th. The regular entry takes place between March 7th and March 12th. And then late entries will be accepted from March 13th through March 16th. And we will close at the end of day Central Time, 5 o'clock, on March 16th. And then we will go to our judges reviewing the entries from March 23rd to April 10th. And then finally, the award ceremony will be on May 13th at Germania Place, which is the same venue that we've held the reception at for the past couple of years. Just a few other things I'd like to highlight. We are looking for some very interesting judges, and you'll be looking on the website for that information to come. And I will be in the back of the room today with some more information, and if you want to see sort of a step-by-step of how to fill out the online application, I'll be in the back of the room and can step you through that.
Great. Thank you, Janine.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
We're really excited about this new enhancement of our Tower Awards marketing communications competition. The software we're using is the same software that's used by the Effies, which is staged by the New York American Marketing Association, one of the top awards programs. And it's not going to let all of us who do enter into Tower do it electronically, as Janine said. It's going to let the judges judge electronically. So we're going to be recruiting what we hope to be higher level, more senior marketing side judges from all over the country. We're even going to be approaching some of our past speakers, including, for example, Steve Pacheco, who spoke here in October from FedEx. My job is to try to convince him that to give us 2 hours while he's in his pajamas some Saturday morning to review some of the creative. And that's the caliber of the judge we hope to bring into the Tower Awards moving forward. So I hope you'll be as excited about it as we are, and we'll enter and enter often. And there, in addition to the additional detail that you can get from Janine afterwards, we'll have more on the B-mail about this new system and process going forward. Well, I am so delighted today to have Suzanne Lavin here telling a really fascinating story. I mean, it's sort of a man bites dog story in a way, in that here's a classic B2B marketer that's advertising and marketing in a big, big way. I'm told by a factor of 10 compared to anything else they've done in the past against a consumer market. Suzanne is the Director of Global Communications and Public Relations at Underwriters Laboratories, commonly known as UL, the global leader in product safety certification. In this role, she is responsible for all global corporate communications activities, including media relations, customer communications, and that's many different levels of customers, regulatory authorities, other intermediate business audiences, retailers and OEMs, original manufacturers, and she's also responsible for crisis management on top of all of that. Prior to taking this role, Suzanne was director and chief of staff within UL's commercial operations business, the group that's responsible for managing over 90% of the company's P&L. Suzanne joined UL in October of 2002, having worked previously as a consultant for Arthur Anderson Business Consulting. She holds a bachelor's degree in journalism from Ohio State University and a master in science in integrated marketing communications from the Medill program at Northwestern. She lives in Chicago with her husband, Sean, and her four-year-old daughter, Reese. And with that, Suzanne, we welcome you to BMA. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Excellent. They did. I'm good. Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for having me today. It's a pleasure to be here. And it's a great honor to talk about Underwriters Laboratories and the work we're doing from a marketing perspective. It's been a long time since we've been out there marketing and branding and talking to consumers, so it's really exciting to be able to share what we've done in the last year with all of you. Before I start the presentation, I just want to get a feel for how many of you are aware of Underwriters Laboratories. And this was before you heard about the BMA luncheon. Also, keep your hand up if you knew what the UL mark means on a product. Okay. That's a pretty good show of hands, and I think you're probably not consistent with the larger consumer population, because we have seen in the last several decades that consumer awareness of UL is going down, and that's part of what we're going to talk about here today. I want to start out by talking about who UL is, because for those of you who don't know who we are and how we operate, it's important to understand who our demand drivers are and who our customers are in order to really understand the marketing program that we put together and why we think it will work. And then we'll talk a little bit about the challenges that we're facing, and I'll get to show you some great pieces of the campaign that we launched in the fourth quarter. So who are we? We're an independent product testing and certification company. We are not the government, and we are not a trade association. I think many organizations think that we are part of the government. Funny little story, I had been working on a project with one government entity and received an email from them. They wanted to know which part of the government we were. So even the government thinks we're the government. But we are an independent company. We're not-for-profit in the U.S., and we have for-profit subsidiaries around the world. We're 115 years old. So we have a great legacy and a great history. We were actually founded in 1894, I believe, at the Chicago World's Fair, at a time when electricity and the use of electricity was pretty new. And there were a lot of fires breaking out at the World's Fair. And our founder, William Henry Merrill, quickly established some safety standards and requirements and started testing product to improve the safety. And sure enough, there were fewer fires and, you know, much safer experience at the World's Fair. And it turned out to be a great business model because here we are today doing some very similar work. We test and certify products to safety requirements, and we test more than 19,000 different types of products. And those are consumer products, things that are in your household that you plug into the wall, things like washers and dryers, hair dryers and toasters, and also industrial products, equipment in factories, building materials, shingles on roofs, on and on and on, lots of different products. This picture that I have here is one of my favorite pictures, and I want to tell you a little bit about it. This picture was taken in our fire lab, which is some of the exciting work that we do. We have a fire lab that has the country's largest elevator because the ceiling of the lab can move up and down to simulate different situations. So sometimes we'll have customers in who have factories and have warehouses, and they want us to set up the warehouse in a similar way to what they have. So we'll put the pallet construction together, we'll put the same types of products within the lab, and then we'll light it on fire and test the sprinkler systems. So it's just a really exciting, interesting part of the work that we do. Once a product has been tested and found to comply with the safety requirements, then it receives the UL certification mark. And we have to make sure that the product continues to get manufactured in the same way as when it was originally certified. So we'll make, on average, about 4 unannounced visits to the manufacturing facility, no matter where that facility is, all over the world. And we'll basically pull product off the manufacturing line and review it and make sure that the product hasn't changed. Essentially, make sure that the UL mark on that product is still valid and makes sense. We also develop safety standards. We have about 1,360 standards for the U.S. and also for Canada, and this is a differentiator for us. We develop the standard, then we test to the standard, and we also do a lot of training to the standard. Many of our customers come to us and want to make sure they understand the requirements, how to interpret them, so when they develop new products, they're developing it with the safety aspects in mind. Our mission is working for a safer world since 1894. And I've worked at several companies in my career, and I would say that I've never worked for an organization that was so driven by their mission. Most of our 7,000 employees, no matter where they're located, whether they're in Japan, whether they're in Brazil or the U.S., really feel that they're driven by the mission. They come to work every day because they're adding back. And some people even believe that they're saving lives. So our mission drives everything we do. It drives the decisions we make, it drives the businesses that we enter, and it drives what we do on a day-to-day basis. All right, let me give you some UL by the numbers so you can see the scope of the work that we do. There are 20 billion UL marks on products. 20 billion. It's a lot of marks. I believe if you were to count up the UL marks in your home, on average, you'd probably find about 125. We have 72,000 manufacturing customers. We've got a few of them in the room today. But imagine that, 72,000 customers. Imagine the challenge of communicating with those customers, giving consistent messaging for such a diverse set of needs. It's certainly a challenge, but it also makes our work really exciting to work with such different companies. We did 93,000 product evaluations last year. Okay, so that's 93,000 products that we tested and possibly certified. A little interesting fact, we do test and certify the protective gear for firefighters. So when firefighters are out there protecting you, we like to look at it like we're protecting them as well. We did 580,000 inspection visits last year. These are our follow-up services to make sure the product is continuing to be manufactured in the same way in which it was certified. And we reached over 1 billion consumers with safety messages. And the 1 billion consumers were reached in part through the program that I'm going to talk about later today. We have 64 facilities throughout the world, on all continents, all parts of the world. Okay, let me talk a little bit about how our business is structured, because I think it's important to understand in order to really understand why we're going after consumers. Just like all the companies you work for, we do have paying customers, and those are our manufacturing customers. They're the ones that come to us with new products and seek certification, along with consulting services and some other services that we offer. But really, our core service today is around testing and certification. We also have demand drivers, and these are really important drivers of our business. We have the authorities having jurisdiction. These are like local governmental bodies who approve new buildings. They're, you know, your code authorities, they're your electrical authorities. They come in and approve new installations in new buildings. Just to give you an example, if a gas station was built in your neighborhood, an authority having jurisdiction would come in and look at the gas station before it could be opened and available to the public. These authorities having jurisdiction are a really important partner of ours because they are essentially signing off on the safety of an installation. And many of them want to see the UL mark on products that are within there because it gives them extra confidence that the products have been tested and found to comply with requirements. Retailers, also an important demand driver. If you can imagine a retailer requiring the UL mark in order to have products sold in that retail store, that would certainly drive more business to UL, allow us to advance our public safety mission further. And then finally, you have consumers. I mentioned it earlier, but there was a time, perhaps in the 1950s, where consumers looked for the UL mark, and it was part of their purchasing decision. People knew who UL was. And that's really important because they influence the retailers, right? If the retailers want to meet the needs of consumers, so if consumers want the UL mark and product, the retailers are going to put them in the stores. The authorities having jurisdiction are influenced by the consumers because their constituent group is ultimately the consuming public as well. Okay? All right, so let's talk a little bit about our marketing challenge and why I'm here today. First of all, iconic brand with 115-year history. Not that many companies can say that. We've got a great brand. We've got a great history. A lot of potential there to nurture. But we are seeing aggressive competitors, primarily in the U.S. in the B2B space. The majority of our business is access to the U.S. In other words, manufacturers looking to access the U.S. market. And we're seeing our competitors coming in and trying to disrupt that and take some of our business. We're also seeing consumer brand awareness declining. And we had a very fragmented brand across global markets. I think we started to grow as an organization very quickly. You know, started to create different offices in different parts of the world. And as we did that, the local offices wanted to appeal to their local constituents. And they started to talk and interpret the UL brand in a way that worked for them. But what we ended up with in the long term was a lack of global brand presence. You know, it was very fragmented. Lots of different personalities, lots of different looks and feels. And finally, we obviously have multiple demand drivers with a lot of different needs, right? So how do you meet the needs of every demand driver with these limited resources in order to continue to drive your business? So that's our challenge, right? Competitive marketplace, limited resources, how do we continue to grow our business? And our strategy was to go back to the consumer and start to drive awareness and relevance with them. And again, because they are a critical demand driver. You know, we really want to build up where we used to be, 1950s, around that time, where people looked for and knew the UL mark. But we couldn't jump right into the consumer. We couldn't start creating a safety movement with consumers right away. We really needed to start by unifying our brand globally. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what that looks like. We also needed to enable a global infrastructure, because with the lack of a global brand, we also had very few global tools, very little global infrastructure in order to communicate with consumers, our customers, and our other demand drivers. So let's talk a little bit about how we unified the brand globally. Again, we had very fragmented brand, right? Different images. I'm going to show you a few examples of what we had. But if you went to a website in Europe, it had a completely different look and feel than if you went to a website in China or the website in the U.S. Very fragmented. And that resulted in inconsistent perceptions both internally and externally. At UL, we really view our employees and our internal people as our biggest brand ambassadors, right? Because how they put themselves out there and how they interact with the customer influences every customer's perception. And so we had a big lack of consistency. Here's an example of one piece of that inconsistency. You know, different uses of the UL mark, different taglines, different logos. So what we did was we launched, I want to say about 2 years ago now, a global brand. And the whole idea behind the brand is safety and confidence always, right? Because that's what the UL mark is. We're a safety company. People look to the UL mark for confidence, that it's been tested, that it meets requirements, that it means the product is safe. We also launched the new tagline, the standard in safety, and launched new photography styles, a new graphic style, and had every business around the world leverage this new brand look and feel. Okay, so it gave us a baseline, something to jump off of. The next thing we wanted to do was establish a global infrastructure. As I mentioned, we still have very few global communication tools. As these businesses built up in different parts of the world, communications vehicles and tools were developed within the local office. and very few of them were leveraged globally. So we did three things to address this. First, we globalized our media and PR efforts. For a number of years, we did all of our media and PR in the U.S., and it was primarily outreach to consumers in support of our public safety mission. As we globalized our media and PR efforts, we took them to Japan, Italy, Germany, Taiwan, really started getting out there and talking to consumers and other business-to-business constituents from a PR perspective. We also developed a traveling exhibit. Now, this was primarily used in the U.S., but certainly helped us to create some consistency between our local U.S. offices. The traveling exhibit is kind of like the Wienermobile, to give you an idea. But it's a truck, and I'm going to show you some pictures of it, that you can take to different retail outlets, you can take to community events, you can take to any place where a family is congregating and give them some hands-on experience with safety messaging. And then finally, we launched an electronic presentation system. I'm also going to show you some pictures of this. But this was a system that is available to all of our employees through our internet site, and it allows us to build customized presentations that are of high quality, leveraging video and leveraging templates and tools so that we could all be presenting ourselves via presentations consistently. That's a picture of our traveling exhibit. You'll see we have tents set up on either side or both sides of the truck itself. And that's where kids and families can go in and have hands-on safety experiences. Like we have a booth set up where you can make it rain and then you could turn the lights on. And we've got it set up so it doesn't have the safety features within the lighting system. So kids can learn what happens when you don't have the safety features there. This is the inside of our traveling exhibit. And again, more hands-on experience with safety. I think this particular group is looking at a room, a picture of a room, and trying to pick out which of the items in the room are UL listed. This is a visual of our electronic presentation system. So again, our employee, no matter where they are, can go onto the intranet site, log into the presentation system, figure out what they want to talk about and who they're talking about or who they're talking to, and start pulling out different modules, which can then be showed at trade shows, can be downloaded to CD-ROMs, can be used in customer meetings, and so on. Okay, so we unified the brand globally. We set up some tools that we could use so that we could communicate consistently and more effectively. And then we felt we were ready to create a safety movement, which is where I think the real exciting stuff happens. Our first decision was, who should we target, right? We did some research, and we knew that awareness of the UL brand was held primarily with older men, and that the new generation really had low awareness. We looked at a number of different targets and found that these safety-devoted moms, and particularly new moms, were the best target for us. These women are very open to safety messaging. You know, when they're bringing new children into the home, they want to be a great mom, right? That's what their singular focus is, being a great mom. They want a safe home for their children. So they're at a point where they're starting to make decisions about what safety means to them. Perfect time to influence that decision process. They also worry and even obsess a little, and I'm one of these moms, so I can say that, about safety in terms of the products we list and certify. So let me give you an example. They worry about fires. They worry that there's going to be a fire in their home and that their family won't be able to get out. They worry that they'll be the cause of that fire. They worry about electrical safety. They worry about, you know, their hair dryer catching fire. So there's great alignment between our business and the things these moms worry about. The other very interesting fact to them, and I think this is really the clincher, is that they are incredibly networked. Some of these women wake up in the middle of the night because their children get up. You know, they put their children to bed, they get on Facebook and talk to their friends, right? They make 7.7 billion person-to-person contacts per year, 7.7 billion. And collectively, they reach 64 million other people per month. And who are they reaching? They're reaching other moms, friends, their parents, community contacts, sports and hobby buddies, on and on and on. So what we found was, if we can make these women an advocate for UL, they're going to take our message to a lot of different other stakeholder groups, and then we can bring our message to a broader group of people. Okay, so how were we going to engage her? You know, our first goal was to create awareness, right? You want to remind her that UL is here, we're a safety organization, this is who we are. We want to educate her on what a safety mark is. You know, a lot of consumers today take safety for granted. You know, they don't know what the certification marks mean. We want to educate her that a UL mark means that the product has been tested and found to comply with safety requirements. We want to build familiarity. And then we want to make her an advocate. Because when she's an advocate, she's going to go and talk to those 7.7 billion people and spread the safety message. So we decided that we wanted to own the mom in the home, because the home is her sanctuary, right? That's where she brings the new baby home. She wants her world and her, you know, her sanctuary to be safe. And we decided the perfect time to do that was during the holidays. So we looked at focusing in the fourth quarter of last year. Okay, so for our Safety at Home for the Holidays campaign, we had a very integrated marketing program. We had entertainment and TV. UL hired their first ever celebrity spokesperson, and I'll tell you a little bit about that experience. We started getting into social networking. First time UL has ever done that, looking at things like Facebook, blogs, Flickr, digital media. We had advertising at key spots on the internet. We also had partnerships with Amazon, where we would show a visual of a room and talk about the different safety features within the room. Print media, of course, in magazines like People, OK, parenting magazines. And we found that these women, because their average age is 28, are really into celebrities, right? And they're into reading about what's happening and what the latest news is. And finally, internal communications. Really, really important to us. We have about 7,000 employees globally, and it's important that they have positive morale, feel good about the company, feel good about the safety mission. We wanted to make sure they felt good about what we were doing externally as well. So let me give you some examples of what we did. Here we have the magnets that all of you had on your chairs coming in. We gave those magnets out at some tree lighting events. We decided that we were going to be the sponsor of three lighting events, Rockefeller Center, Washington, D.C., and also Chicago, the Daily Tree Lighting. We were actually the first ever sponsors of the Chicago tree lighting, so that was exciting. In Washington, D.C., pictured here, we created, for the first time ever, a Santa's workshop. So literally built a log cabin where moms, right, and their kids and other parts of their family could go and visit Santa. And while they were waiting in line, what did they get? Magnets, safety tips, information about how to make their home safe. We also did some tree lighting sponsorships at the local malls because a lot of moms were shopping, right, over the holiday season. And so we had some point of sale material as well as some giveaways in the Santa booths as well. So our celebrity, I mentioned that we decided to hire a celebrity spokesperson for the first time in UL's history, and we wanted to bring in a celebrity because these moms really look at celebrities. You know, one of the most purchased publications for these moms are like People magazine when they're talking about other celebrity moms. You know, they want to see celebrities with their babies and see what they're doing and what they name them. So we wanted to find a celebrity mom, and we picked Keri Russell. Some of you may remember her from the show Felicity or the movie Waitress, August Rush. Hopefully this is ringing a bell. and she was great to work with, and she put really a great face to our campaign and got us a lot of additional publicity, which I'll talk about in a minute. This is obviously a picture of a print ad that we did with her, and I know a lot of you in the back and possibly in the front can't see it, so I'm just going to read to you the copy. The headline, a safe home is one of the greatest gifts you can give your child. The copy, I have a little boy, and his smile is so warm it melts your heart. He's the most precious thing on earth, and I'll do anything to keep him safe. Here's one thing I'll do without fail this holiday season. I'll make sure every electronic product, from Christmas tree lights to presents, have the UL mark. Just look for UL. It tells you that a product has been tested and certified by the world's most trusted independent test lab. UL wrote the standards for safety. They're the experts, visit their website and see what I mean. By giving your child the gift of safety this holiday season, you'll also be giving yourself peace of mind. Right? These moms want to be great moms. And so it's this type of copy and this way of speaking with them to really talk about who UL is and how we can help them be a great mom. We also did some television PSAs with Carrie. We had a holiday and a non-holiday version that ran against a number of different programming. And when I show you the campaign reel at the end, you'll see a portion of that. We also developed some print ads that were non-celebrity and non-holiday. Here's the holiday version of our non-celebrity ad. And again, these ran in People, OK, Parenting Magazine, those sorts of publications. We also developed a website called safetyathome.com, and this is actually an older view of the site because in the middle we now have our first ever blog, which was a really big deal for us, and just launched a couple of weeks ago. But this was a place where we could send every mom who read our message and every mom that we were able to interact with to go and get some safety tips and to learn more and to take the safety quiz and find out how much they know about safety and how much more they can learn. Social media, another first for us. We launched a Facebook page. I think we have something like 4,000 fans now, so we're doing pretty good. This is a picture of our fans. And what do you see? New moms. So we're really excited. We feel like we're getting our message out to our target audience. Twitter, Flickr, we also got engaged with. And public relations coverage. I sort of had two things going on from a PR standpoint. First, Carrie Russell was launching a movie, I think called Bedtime Stories, and I think it was launching, coming out the day after Christmas. And so she already had a press tour scheduled. And she went to Martha Stewart, Ellen, The View, and while talking about her new movie, also talked about UL. So that gave us some great lift and some great exposure. At the same time, we launched a program that did not involve Carrie Russell called The Gift of Safety. And really, it's looking at moms in the economy of the fourth quarter and knowing that they're going to be more careful in how they spend. And they may be cutting back on some of their purchases. And we did not want them to cut back on safety. So we got a lot of coverage about giving the gift of safety and making sure that you keep safety in mind when you're trying to cut corners. And finally, our employee program. This is an example of the website that we launched for employees. It included details of the campaign. It included the malls we were at. It included images of videos from our media moments so that we could really start to engage employees. We even had a contest for them so they could feel a part of what was going on. We also had Carrie Russell film a video specifically for employees, saying how proud she was of the work that we do and how she's excited to be partnering with us. And people really appreciated that. We also developed a handout that every single employee got globally, and it's a multi-fold piece, and this is a view of what the folds look like. But basically, what we were asking our employees to do is get involved in the safety movement. We gave each of them something like 10 magnets and said, give them out to your friends. And we got tons of requests from employees who wanted to give them out to the Cub Scout group or the church group. And we had to order more, and you know we've given away thousands just through our employees, so they got very excited about it. Okay, can we play the campaign reel?
For more than 100 years, Underwriters Laboratories has been recognized as the standard in safety. In 2008, a campaign was designed to reassert UL's market position and global image, educating consumers, inspiring employees, and positioning UL for future growth in new business sectors.
Don't inspect them while you're in the bathtub.
We launched a safety movement to create a new generation of UL consumers, to get mothers, particularly new moms, to recognize and look for the UL mark as a symbol they can trust to help them protect and safeguard their family.
We're just educating moms and families about holiday home safety.
And the holiday season was the perfect time to reach our target audience as they shopped for their families and decorated their homes.
You just look for that little UL mark.
UL maximized every opportunity to bring our brand to multiple media outlets that reach new mothers and beyond. To make sure everyone knows, to protect your family, just look for UL.
I always look for the UL mark. UL wrote the standards for product safety. In fact, their website, safetyathome.com, has everything you need to know to safeguard your home.
Using television, as well as family-friendly events and a celebrity spokesperson who's a new mother herself, we successfully reinforced a message of home safety for the holidays.
You just have to make sure that every product that you buy has that UL mark.
Make safety a priority this holiday season.
What better place than the annual tree lighting ceremony for actress Carrie Russell to spread a message that's close to her heart, holiday safety.
Welcome back to New York City's Rockefeller Center. Tonight's show is brought to you in HD by UL. They set the standard in safety.
You will see Santa's brand new workshop provided by UL.
3, 2, 1.
As a mom, some of the most important things that I want for my children are that they're happy and safe. So one thing I do, especially around the holidays, is to make sure that everything with a plug, every strand of Christmas tree lights, has a UL mark.
Now tell us about this whole thing that you're partnering with Underwriters Laboratory to help promote home safety.
Yes.
Presented by Underwriters Laboratories. Just look for UL.
Make sure you use UL approved lights.
Carrie is now a spokesperson for UL.
Why don't you tell me about your holiday thing you're doing? Just look for UL.
Yes, you look for the UL mark, which means is that it meets safety requirements.
Holiday lighting and other decorations are also tested by Underwriters Laboratories.
An easy way to stay safe is to check for the UL symbol.
Underwriters Lab tag on electrical cords indicates they've been tested and made secure.
The Underwriters Laboratories is all about safety. We've been doing this for 114 years.
With talk show interviews, newspaper coverage, and distribution of safety tips, all geared toward our target audience, UL's message built a lot of buzz and took on a life of its own.
Check out our tree. Is it safe?
It's safe. It's UL certified.
We created a dedicated online site as a hub of information for moms and bloggers. And the UL message spread through cyberspace using popular social network sites like Facebook, Twitter, and Flickr. Moms trust parenting websites, shop online, and surf the web for entertainment info. And UL was there with ads and partnerships to meet moms in their favorite corners of the internet. Print spreads, ads, and inserts in strategically chosen magazines help bring the UL message to millions across America. Reaching out to UL's own employees was a key piece of the campaign to build excitement and harness their enthusiasm as campaign ambassadors.
I believe in you, and I believe very strongly in what you do.
When consumers just looked for UL, they didn't have to look very far. In print, on TV, online, in shopping malls and public places, in press conferences and PSAs, our message was everywhere this holiday season, reestablishing the UL brand as a circle of trust linking moms, children, and safe products. In 2008, we started a safety movement with a comprehensive media campaign that left its mark.
Fun, huh? Reminds me of everything I went through in the fourth quarter. So I have some early results. We don't have a lot of our quantitative results back yet, but we did reach hundreds of millions of consumers in Q4. And we believe that we've started to move the needle with these new moms in terms of awareness and education. And as we continue the campaign, we certainly hope that we'll move to familiarity and advocacy as our ultimate goal as well. We do know that we achieved key message penetration. If you look at any coverage that we got from a PR perspective, the main messages are UL mark means a product meets safety standards, so we're, you know, educating, and that UL certified holiday lights and decorations are safe. So we've really started to get some of those key messages embedded with our target audience. And then finally, we definitely improved employee morale and engagement. I got a lot of emails from employees so excited to see their company and the work that they do highlighted on such a major scale. So that was rewarding. So what's next? The next thing is we're packaging the results and packaging the outreach program to talk about the benefits to our B2B stakeholders, to the authorities having jurisdiction, our manufacturing customers, and the retailers. And we'll do that through, you know, videos and presentations and emails and things like that. So that is currently in the works. And you'll also see this year we're going to extend outside of the holiday season. I'm not going to tell you how. You'll have to wait and see. But those are the next steps. That's it.
I mentioned Mother's Day. Would that be wrong?
No.
Suzanne, that was terrific. Thank you very much. We have time for questions, and I think there's probably be quite a few from the audience. I'm going to start with one, though, and then we'll go to the audience. Brilliant, in my mind at least, brilliant selection of the target audience. And one of the hardest things for organizations to do, in my experience, is to zero in on such a narrow target audience, but also to stick with that audience and not succumb to the tendency of other people in an organization to want to broaden you out. How did you stay so single-mindedly focused on new moms, or was it even a challenge that occasionally became a battle internally?
Yeah, no doubt it was a challenge. I think if you look at the demographics of our organization, it's mostly engineering males, right? So talking about going out to new moms is kind of a different thing, and some people felt that maybe it's, you know, inconsistent with our brand and our personality. But I think when you sit there and you look at the facts and you look at the research and you look at the power of these moms, it's hard to deny that story, and it's hard to argue it. So I think once we talked to people about it and they understood that, you know, these traditional engineers were coming up and saying, hey, my wife saw it and loved it, and, you know, my mom saw it, and, you know, we really started to gain some traction that way.
That's wonderful. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you might be doing something around Mother's Day, possibly?
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay. Questions from the audience. Adam.
Okay, so how long did it take to get agreement on the program?
In other words, was it, okay, we've got this idea, we think it makes sense, we're going to go out, we do the research, we're going to prove what we think is going on out there. 6 months later, we get the results, we present it. A year later, we finally get the engineers on board, and then we start moving.
No. Okay, so the question is, how long did it take to get everybody on board and to do the research and get this thing launched? And I'm not being sarcastic when I say this whole thing happened in 6 months, including execution. We knew that we wanted to reach out to consumers. We did some proprietary research. We did gather some research that we had and built and executed a program in that short amount of time. So it was amazing and very tiring, but I think rewarding.
Indeed. Gail, did you have a question? There's a microphone right there. Thank you.
So you talked about in the beginning how you were going to try to use consumers again to drive sort of the business and what's happening with manufacturers. Mm-hmm. And then you talked a little bit about quantitative numbers not being in. How are you measuring, or how will you measure and track back what kind of impact the consumer campaign has had on those key stakeholders, especially the manufacturers?
So we'll measure in two different ways. We'll obviously measure our message penetration and awareness with the consumers that we're targeting, and we're, you know, working to get some feedback on that. We're also doing some measurement around some of the specific executions that we had. In terms of formal measurement around the other demand drivers, we were not planning on doing any formal measurement, but we are starting to get feedback. And we're getting some really positive feedback from our manufacturing customers, because ultimately it puts more value in the UL mark and the product that they buy. We're also engaging in some conversations with the retailers, who I think will really appreciate the outreach to consumers and want to bring some of that outreach and program into their stores.
Excellent. Right back there.
I think you've had great success in the U.S. with PR and advertising. Do you plan on launching that globally? And if so, how will you keep that consistent?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. We actually can't take this program exactly as it is and bring it to other markets, because the UL mark is in the U.S., and there are other safety certification marks in other markets. And we do help our customers get products into those markets, but you could not duplicate the same program. We have been doing some consumer media and PR in other markets because moms are moms and people are people, and they have a lot of the same issues with some adjustments. So I think what we'll do is probably follow this program, you know, make the tweaks, improve upon it, and eventually take it to some key markets outside with some changes. But nothing in the short term is planned right now.
Right over there, Michael.
Brand counterfeiting, and are you seeing that as a challenge to UL in terms of products coming in with counterfeit marks on them?
Yeah, no doubt. UL is a leader in its category, so it is also a victim of counterfeiting to some degree. You know, it's not a major problem. We do have a counterfeiting, anti-counterfeiting organization that works with the government, works with border control, and really tries to fight any counterfeit UL marks coming in. In fact, we did a number of holiday light seizures over the holiday season and got just absolute, you know, truckloads of counterfeit product off the market.
Of all things, Christmas lights. Wow.
That's right.
Other questions, folks? Yes, Adam. Please.
Was there a business metric associated with a campaign of this scope? In other words, you know, was there some planning stages? Did they say, okay, we want to increase
our business by X percent? And if this this campaign achieves that over the next 24 months, we'll consider this a successful program.
You know, I think we really took a long-term view of the success of the program. And anytime, you know this, anytime you're trying to build awareness and advocacy with stakeholder groups, it takes a long time. And I think our leadership team and the organization understands that this is not going to deliver increased business, in a year. We're looking at a much longer horizon, and I think our initial measure of the success of the program will be on how we get our message out and how we start to build the buy-in of these consumers.
You know, we're certainly familiar with later day ingredient brands, component brands like NutraSweet and Intel and Dolby, but this ingredient brand, which must be one of the very oldest ingredient brands, and certainly American industrial history, you know, has been around for 100 or more years. And one thing I'm curious about, Suzanne, is you mentioned several times in the 1950s, it was such a strong, recognized brand that mothers and presumably other people actually looked for it on the products. And I don't know how good your history is or how well it's been written of UL during that era, but how did the company in those days get to the point where the brand was so strong? Do you know offhand what they did?
Well, I don't know a lot of detail, but I do know that we did a lot more consumer outreach back in those days. And also, you know, we've reached a time today where people in the U.S. take safety for granted, right? I mean, they expect if they pull a product off the shelf that it's going to be safe. They don't think about it. They don't, you know, look for a mark to confirm that it's going to be safe. So I think a lot of that is affecting our awareness levels today. Having said that, I also believe that people's view of safety is evolving. So it's no longer just about products. It's now about the environmental safety, right? It's safety of the air. It's safety of the water. And what we need to do as an organization is evolve with that definition of safety so we can continue to be a safety partner.
Very good. Are there other questions? I see a hand back
yes.
there.
Yes. Hi. Could you tell me, given the crisis about paint, lead paint on children's toys in the cribs, that were two huge crises ever going in the United States, and these were often imported products. What does UL do to protect families from default and defective products that are imported?
Well, first of all, UL doesn't test toys, and we were not involved in the testing of those products that had lead in them. But I can tell you that our follow-up service program, where we go in and we pull products off the manufacturing shelf to make sure they continue to comply with requirements, is a great way to make sure products that are imported that have the UL mark on them still should have the UL mark and that they still have those safety features.
Interesting. Interesting. Good question. Are there any others?
Gary? Yes, one right over here.
This is actually kind of pedestrian, but you talked about who some of your competitors are that have emerged recently. Can you speak to who those are?
Yeah, I mean, I don't make it a practice to speak about specific competitors, but I can say that just like our competitors, we are a global company. What's unique about us is that we do this outreach to consumers and that we're driven by our safety mission. So I think that really sets us apart from these other third-party certification providers.
Wouldn't you have liked to have been in their offices in December when they saw your campaign unveiled?
Yes.
Has anything leaked out in terms of how they've responded or reacted? Did they gnash their teeth?
I have not heard anything specifically from our competitors yet. I know that some of our competitors are starting to talk to consumers a little more than they used to. So hopefully we blew them out of the water with this.
Indeed. I see a hand there. Right there.
Did Scott? You involve your manufacturers and retailers up front in the planning process in any fashion, or was that considered to be a little bit too sensitive given the competitive situation?
Well, certainly we wanted to make a big bang in the fourth quarter, and we didn't want to reveal too much of what we were doing before we did it. But I think we always try to talk to our retailing partners and our manufacturing customers and understand, you know, their needs, and quite frankly, a lot of our manufacturers have told us that they want us to talk to consumers, right? Because it helps add value to the mark that they're purchasing. So we did not formally engage them, but I think we just make it a part of our practice to understand, you know, what we do and how it can help them.
Great question, Scott. Well, I think we're probably, unless there's one more, is there one more anywhere? I think we're probably at the end of our Q&A period. I want you to know, Suzanne didn't want you to know this, but she has actually had a little bit of a touch of flu the past couple days. And didn't she do a fabulous job?
Thank you.
Suzanne?
Oh.
This is one of the real fun parts. We always, you know, it's a bit of a tradition. We're getting better at it, but we always like to check secretly with people who know our speakers about a gift versus just giving the typical BMA umbrella or something like that. So I'm not going to tell you who we spoke to, Suzanne. You can probably figure it out. But we spoke with someone who knows you well, and we learned that you enjoy, love drinking tea and reading books with your daughter on weekend mornings. So we have a gift basket for you with several different types of tea for you, and some hot chocolate for your daughter, and a few children's books to read together.
Oh, thank you so much. Appreciate it, Gary.
We're going to have you pick the
yes.
apple.
Okay.
And now I'd like to ask Vesna Arsic, here she is, to come on up, our BizBash co-chair, to do the raffle and to ask Suzanne to pick the winner. Vesna.
Hi.
Hi.
Suzanne.
Good.
Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you, too. Thank you.
Okay. I'm Vesna Arsic, and thank you all for buying these raffle tickets. You ready?
I hope I don't pick myself here. Okay, the number is 623-550.
Come on up.
We have a winner.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks again. Thanks so much.
This is not your prize. I think yours will come in an actual box, but this is the Flip Minnow, and maybe we'll have this on our website. We have it here. Come on, please come on up. Oh, you bet it is.
He wouldn't let that happen.
It is. Is it UL certified?
It is UL.
We have our winner is John Murphy with ReachMail, Inc. John, congratulations.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Just a final couple of remarks. I want to encourage everybody to join our BMA LinkedIn group. We have now almost 500 members, and the conversations are getting livelier all the time. Each month we're going to have a promotion where if you answer the question posed related to the following month's luncheon, you'll be entered, as Heidi Miller and 12 others were, in a drawing for a free table of 10 at an upcoming BMA luncheon. So go to the BMA LinkedIn group, look at the featured discussion, add to it, via comment or a post, and you'll automatically be entered into a drawing to win a free table at an upcoming luncheon. Heidi has chosen to be at, she couldn't, we picked her a little too late to attend today's luncheon, but she'll be at the next one. So we'll see many of you, if not all of you, again at the Breakfast Roundtable on Wednesday, February 18th, and our next Marketing Masters Luncheon on Thursday, March 5th with Granger. We're adjourned. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.